there comes a point where it's like, oh, actually your sister needs you, brother needs this person in the community needs you. And it's like you forget about all of that comfort and you give what you could give. So yeah. I'm just really in that. I just like I see how much community is really essential to our even our emotional stability.
Yes. You know? Oh my God.
Because sometimes you don't even realize that you're crazy, you're going cuckoo.
Yep.
But someone in your community is going to be like, I think you sure you're okay? You know?
Yes.
Someone that you trust might just be like, you did this way. Usually you don't. You sure you're all right?
Hello, family. You are listening to Concrete Pastures Podcast. I am Nancy Mulemwasisi. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For anyone who is new on our platform, this is a space that allows myself and others to share our stories as we deconstruct the world's view of an immigrant status. We unlike the joys, the laughs, and the bravery that being a dreamer brings. So subscribe, like, share, and stay a while as we dive into today's episode. I am super excited. This has been a long time in the making. Our guest today is a podcaster, my fellow podcaster, special events MC, aspiring social entrepreneur. Guys, oh my God, I am so inspired by this woman. Her name is Agnes Appiah. She is a multidisciplinary creative and entrepreneur. She is an outstanding MC, voiceover artist, and spoken word artist. She hosts the Umani Conversations podcast and recently co-authored the book 55 Faces to raise awareness for women's role in social change and impact. Spending her first few decades in fear, she now uses her life experiences as a messenger, I would say, for hope and triumph. And this is what we're actually going to get into a lot more. Welcome, sister. Welcome, Agnes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Nancy. This is exactly as you said. It's been a long time in the making, and I'm super glad that I'm able to be here with you and all of your beautiful listeners. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm excited to have you. It's such an honor because we've been planning, things come up, and it's just at the right time now. It's finally happening for both of us. And yes, you are originally from Ghana. We like to start from home, but for you, you are in Canada and you migrated to Canada at the really young age. 3-4 years? Oh my goodness.
I was basically 3.5, I would say, because we came here. I came with my mother at the age of 3.5 in July 1987.
Got it.
So my father was already in Canada. And anyways, back in the days, they had ways, you know.
Yes.
Connections.
Yes.
Yeah, like these connections. And through those connections, my mother and I landed here.
Wow.
Actually, yeah.
No, I was surprised when I saw that in your bio. Mm-hmm. What was going on? Because it's Ghana and a lot of us are not aware.
Sadly, I don't have a recollection of how it felt, what was going on.
Yeah.
All I remember was that they gave me this name and they told me, this is your name. So anywhere you go, this is your name.
Your name. Oh my God.
That's like all I remember from that whole, until today. You know, and that name is part of me, you know, it's part of my immigration story, you know, and that landed me here in 1987.
Wow. I mean, a lot of us and a lot of listeners around the world, they leave the country at the time where they're older, a lot, the majority, and we get to experience the whole journey and we get to experience the, you know, the good parts and the bad parts of it. But in your case, since you were so young, done and now to see you right now. How has that impacted you, like in terms of identity, in finding yourself? Where do you relate yourself, whether it's Ghana or Canada?
Oh, wow. That's a big question.
Sorry to be loaded.
because I think it's something that has been unfolding for myself. You know, growing up, although, yes, we were living in Canada, one of the things that I recognize is in my household, my parents groomed us as Ghanaian children, right? So I think in the beginning, all I knew was me being Ghanaian. I didn't know anything else. And then after you grow up, you meet other people, you're trying to, you know, in high school, you're trying to find out who you are. So for a minute, I was Jamaican. Okay. For a split second, I was Jamaican. I identified more with Jamaican people. My best friend at that time as a elementary teenager was Jamaican. All my friends were Caribbean. So, you know, like, I was like, okay. To the point where my sister, I started like sounding like literally like a Jamaican. I would speak English, but it would be patois that would be coming out of my mouth. Like, that was how much I was integrated in that culture. Wow. Right? And then as I entered into my adulthood, I started to embrace, like, I always had the Ghanaian aspect of me. That part never did. Like, for instance, my friends will come home and it's like we're eating either African food or you know, the other stuff, right? Or so that part of me, I think it was always there at the in like home,
in but your
then
house.
When I stepped out, it was like a different world.
Yeah.
Right? But as I was going back, as I was saying, in my adulthood, I actually started going to a Ghanaian church, and I feel like that also kind of solidified that Ghanaianness in me, and it brought me back to like the drums and the music, and there was always music in my household. Like, you know, honestly, my household was pure Ghanaian, okay? It was always like Ghanaian music, but it was just like, now it was more of in a community again, right? Yeah. Because when I was younger, it was in a community, then for some reason we were disconnected. And then I went back into that state of community and it solidified itself as I'm a Ghanaian, this is who I identify as. Oh. But now, I'm telling you, it's something that has unfolded. Now, I would say, I don't know if it's going to change, I would literally say that I am a Ghanaian Canadian and I am embracing that Canadian part of me. For some strange reason, I haven't been able to really understand yet. I started the process with my therapist a few months ago, but we never dived in deeper. I never really considered like the Canadian part of me, Canadian history. I don't know. I never really related to that part, although I've lived here basically like 30 plus years.
Oh, wow.
until recently. Recently, a friend of mine brought that up. She's like, we're Afro-Canadian. We have a story, you know, we're African women living in Canada and there's a history behind who we are, behind our identity, because when we go back home, we're not African enough. But then when we're here, we're not Canadian enough. So it's just like, then who are we, right? And I think I'm in a stage where I comfortably know that I am as much Ghanaian as I am Canadian, regardless. Whether I sound Ghanaian or not, whether my tree is crooked or not, I'm Ghanaian. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then Canada, I've lived here basically my whole life. I have a story.
Yeah, for sure.
I have history here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so this is where we're at. I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of years, but this is where the evolution of my identity, I would say, has brought me.
You know, it's interesting because everybody I talk to that was brought there by their parents young, they have issues with identifying with the country where they were born in and identifying with the hosting country. And it's just a struggle. And then I wanted to hear your perspective on what your journey was like or still is like for you. There's really an eye-opening for all of us. I think for me, I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. I would think it'd be easy. I'm like, I'm Canadian. Mm-hmm. But it's not that mm-hmm. way.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really not. And I think it's also because coming here, I feel like our parents didn't want us to lose that sense of identity of who we were as Africans.
Yes.
Right? So as much as some of their actions were very harmful, and now we call it toxic.
Yeah.
Now we have names for it.
Yeah.
Toxic mental health and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And this is just my perspective from my own observation. A lot of of our parents that came here, some of them didn't want to, they really didn't want to depart from Ghana. It's like they just came here. It's like, oh, we're coming here to hustle to make the money to go back.
Yes.
But then 30 years down the line, you're still here hustling, trying to make the money to go back.
It's funny you say that. You know, I spoke to Pasa Pasa, the host of Pasa Pasa,
okay.
Miss Kimi, my mama. She mentioned the same thing when I had a conversation with her. We as immigrants, we are still, we're almost like visiting even 30 years later. Like, just when do you like settle in as like, okay, I live here now. My roots are kind of here now too. But how have you been able to marry the two?
Honestly, for me, I think it's a question of acceptance. And it's also, it's growth. You know, we as individuals, we need to grow. Like, if you don't grow, then what happens? You deplete, you know, you die, you vanish.
Yeah.
So I think the more that I grow, and because those aspects of me are important, because some people, honestly, I feel like there's some people you meet and they're just like, I don't care. Like, I'm Canadian. I don't care what you know, but for me, it's just like, it's weird to say, but I feel like I still have like a duty. I don't know. It's like the weirdest thing.
I understand.
I still have like a duty to my roots, which is because I was born there. You know, it's not like I was born here. I was born in the motherland. So it's like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that is part of who I am. So I think it's really a matter of when you grow as an individual, and if those parts of you are important, then you learn how to accept all the parts of you, right? Whether you're, you know, whether maybe, let's say if you're in Ghana and it was like a traumatic situation that led you here, and you don't want to be considered a Ghanaian, that's your acceptance, that's your truth, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, it was like, whether it was traumatic or not, I accept that. And in Canada, as I said, it just recently hit me that, okay, yeah, I'm also, you could write my name down in the history of Canada and be like, she's a pioneer of, you know, the Ghanaian community at the age of 3.5. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could write down my name. You could literally do, because when we came out here, I was among there's like a little group of us. We're like a few young kids. It was always us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I got a story here too. Canadian too. I got a citizenship card too.
Yeah, I know.
So it's just when you get to, I think you just get to a place where you accept and you move on and you live with the criticisms and the racisms.
Yes.
The ims.
Oh my God. I mean, you are known for, you actually call yourself as the messenger. I would like for you to explain to us what that means exactly.
Honestly, I don't know what it means. But one thing that I recognize is that my life, I've gained wisdom through the events that has happened in my life. And there's so much more, you know, more wisdom, more to learn.
Yeah.
And I think I just aim to just live like everyone else, but just be like an example that, you know what, it could be tough, but we still out here. You know, there's so much more to live for. It's challenging, it's painful sometimes, but if I'm here, you could be here too.
Yeah.
I think that's what, I guess, the messenger. I think we're all messengers in a very in our own unique ways.
I agree.
Right?
I agree, and
like, you're a messenger too, Nancy. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, I completely agree. I think I did say this on now one interview I had with Pan Africa Radio, and they asked me about Concrete Pastures, and I mentioned to them like the main purpose of it is because we do experience life at different times, same things but at different times in our lives. So from your experiences that you've had before someone else experiences it, you already experienced it for them. So in this way, they can learn from you when you are sharing your story, when you are a messenger, and they're able to learn from that. So it's exactly that. And when I saw that, I'm like, this is so true. We are all messengers. And when we experience different types of events in our lives, sometimes they're not truly for us, it's for someone else to learn from. And when that happens, it's just, you know, you you have that obligation to go and deliver the message that you are sent to deliver. Talking about messages, there's an event that I want to talk about with you because of how important it is in our community.
Right.
Being immigrants, we are so caught up in our hardworking and we don't truly experience life.
Right.
I'm guilty of that. And sometimes things happen, we don't really register them. You had a loss of a child in 2019, and there's a lot in the a lot of people that have experienced that in the diaspora as well, whether it's a miscarriage or however it happens. Some people don't really even stop to acknowledge because of how we are on the go. And this is not to diminish on how people deal with loss, but it's just sometimes we are so busy, we don't get to register. Could you just walk us through as to what happened with you?
Ooh. 2019 was, now I see it as a year of shit for me because basically I was pregnant. You know, I was pregnant after, I guess because I also am dealing with like PCOS, PCOS. So after a few years of marriage, you know, it's like, okay, is the baby coming? And then, you know, the baby came. Well, the baby came.
How long were you married for?
I mean, it wasn't that long, to be honest with you. We got married in 2016. Mm-hmm. So it was like 3 years. For me, I think it's like regular time.
I waited 7 years. So.
Yeah. You know, it's like, there's no time. I guess maybe because like a lot of times, you know, they look at our age and then they're just like, okay. Because I got married like a bit late. Second marriage, actually. I got stories for days, but let's go straight to where we're going. Well, but yeah.
This is life.
Yeah.
I'm ready for my second marriage.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Oh, man. This is definitely life. But yeah. So I see 5 months in pregnancy. See, I started to feel like a bit funny, you know. How deep do you want me to go into details? Because I could be very detailed or I could...
It's your story.
Okay. So on that particular day, it was somewhere in the month of... what month were we in? Probably November, December. No, it was in December. Yeah, it was in December. I think it was ending of November, beginning of December. Sorry, I'm just trying to get the date for a while. I wasn't feeling well. Went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They checked me. They were just like, oh, it's just Braxton Hicks, I think, or something. So you should be fine. Go back home. Like, okay. I came back home an hour in. I go pee and then I'm bleeding. They're saying no friggin' Braxton Hicks, guys. So I go back to the hospital. I have my sister that has her like learner's permit.
Mm-hmm.
Drive me to the hospital. And she's just like, I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on. You're driving me. Like, you know, we're going.
Yeah.
And it was at work. So we get there, check me. And then they realized that my cervix was a bit open. So you know how it is. You go, they lay you down, they come and check you in and out. That was super uncomfortable. I feel that moment was where things got worse, but it's too deep. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, I think I spent how many days at the hospital? I spent probably like 3-4 days because I live in Quebec and I wanted to be transferred to like the Ontario hospital.
Got it.
And it took like a whole weekend before they transferred me. So when they transferred me, we thought that things were gonna be good,
yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
And then also in the Quebec hospital there was some like mixed information. They thought I didn't want a baby. It was just a mess. Okay. It was just a mess. So I get to the Ontario hospital. Then it's like still very blurry. So I get sick before they check me, or they check me then I get sick, but something in one of the two,
yeah.
And then I had to have a forced labor because I was like, I think at 22 weeks they couldn't keep the baby. My fever was higher, so they're like, it's either both of you are gone,
yeah,
or we save you and the baby will go. Because at 22 weeks, they're like, there's nothing we could really do. So then that's what happened, you know. On December 2nd, 2019, I still call him my firstborn because he's my firstborn. You know? The baby was healthy. Like I'm now realizing how much that really changed me as a person. It changed my understanding of life, my understanding of myself, my understanding of, I guess, the pressures and the duties that sometimes that we put on ourselves as women. You know, it was blurry. It was very challenging. It was.
How do you think that the event changed you?
I started asking questions. you know, I come from a background, a Christian background, and I still consider myself a Christian to some extent. I just have probably a different way of like understanding the whole notion of Christianity.
Yes.
I would consider myself maybe more of a spiritual person, but I still identify with the story of Christ. So let's just put it there. Like, let's put it like that.
No, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. So
we still have one God.
Yeah. So basically, I started asking like God a lot of questions. You know, like I started already in 2018. Actually, things were already shaking up like in 2018. You know, so
yeah.
But then I started asking real questions and being like, okay, like I have been done, tried being the holiest of holiest. Like, my name is Agnes, so it's like not to boost myself or anything like that. But I'm a type of person that I'm just pure. Okay, and I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate. I just always want to do good, be good, you know, please. I was a big time people pleaser. So, you know, it was like all of these things that I thought I did right. I thought that's what was needed from me. Yeah. So why take this precious thing away when this is what I've been waiting for? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I didn't understand that part. I thought I was cursed. Like, I thought so many things. There were so many questions just coming through my mind left and right. And obviously, you know, I went to seek help. I did a little bit of therapy. I had found a psychologist a few months before, actually. So I was already dealing with her. And then when this, you know, I dived in deeper with her, and then COVID happened. So when COVID happened, then I was like, oh yeah, I'm cursed. Like, oh yeah. Like, now that I'm almost there, I'm going to break through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have access to my psychologist anymore. I don't have, like, she's like, everybody's going mental. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I know COVID was serious, okay? But, you know, sometimes but everybody was on a high mental highs, okay? So she was booked. And I remember just one day I was in my shower and I just started crying and insulting God and not liking God at that moment. And then I heard something in my spirit. I heard, why do you think that you need somebody else to heal you? Why are you always going to somebody else? You know, at that time, you think you're crazy or something.
Yes.
Like, some people will get it, some people won't. But like,
no, I get it.
I heard it. And right there, like, literally, like, as I said, I'm a very spiritual person. So I pay attention to a lot of things that happen around me. And right there, I had this book that I bought 3 years prior that I was scared to read because it said Ancestors of Day. Like, right there, my spirit said, you're going to go and read that book. You're gonna sit down and you're gonna wait for me, and you're gonna cry and you're gonna release and you're gonna ask those questions. And I did that. Like, it didn't happen right away in December. It took, like, you know, a couple of months to get me through it. But that moment, I can't pinpoint when exactly, but that moment when that happened, I was dedicated to be still. And just every morning I'll wake up and I'll just be still. I'll just sit and I'll cry and I'll grieve and I'll experience whatever emotion. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. But I'll experience whatever emotion that needs to be experienced in that moment. And I'll just go through it. And then I'll come back up and continue the day. Then one of the other things that was amazing for me in this journey is that along the way, I met a tribe, community. And I always knew that as women, we went through things. I went on a retreat with that community. And my experience there, I think, changed me drastically even more.
Where did you guys go?
We went to a spot called Mont Saint-Sauveur. It's in Quebec. Mont Saint-Sauveur. Yeah. It's like a little town, maybe, I think. Yeah. And we were in the hills, like in the bush. In the bushes. And we were just in community and we were sharing our stories. And you realize you're not the only one that lost a baby. And this sister lost a baby. And this sister did this. Mm. And this sister had this sister had this. And you come full circle. And they call it circles. You come full circle and you feel like, man, yeah, I'm not alone. Somebody else went through it. They might grieve differently.
Yeah.
But just sometimes just that knowing, and that it gives you like the will to keep going and to keep pushing, you know? I don't know if I like deviated from the initial question.
Because a lot of the times when you experience something, you feel alone, especially as immigrants. There's not everybody's fortunate to have their whole village come with them, and if you're going through a lot, you feel defeated in so many ways. And for you to actually have support system of sisterhood and find that as to I'm not the only one. And there's something that it gives to you.
It gives you life, you know? It gives you back life, honestly, because I think that I'm in that like vibration right now, if y'all get it, but the importance of community and just connection with one another.
Yeah.
I think living out here in the North, in North America, sometimes we tend to feel so isolated.
Yep.
And there's this notion of like individualism also here. And we all get caught up. Like, yeah, I get caught up in that. I don't want nobody in my business. Like, yo, I just want to cuddle in my room in this weather. Who wants to go outside?
I know you
in
guys, it's so cold in there.
Like, it's cold out like, in these streets. You know
how
what I mean?
Are you in Quebec? And I feel cold just saying the name Quebec.
I'm telling you, it sounds so cold. It's cold, you know, but there comes a point where it's like, oh, actually your sister needs you, brother needs this person in the community needs you. And it's like you forget about all of that comfort and you give what you could give. So yeah. I'm just really in that. I just like I see how much community is really essential to our like just even our emotional stability.
Yes, you know? Oh my God.
Because sometimes you don't even realize that you're crazy, you're going cuckoo.
Yep.
But someone in your community is going to be like, you sure you're okay? You know?
Yeah.
Someone that you trust might just be like, you did this way. Usually you don't. You sure you're all right?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I think that's definitely a big thing.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that. Are you still going to therapy?
No. I took a break. I took a break because I'm doing this other thing that's more of like a group.
We're about to get into.
Yeah. It's like a group therapy thing that's anyway, so I was diagnosed with a mental health illness. So with that, they have like these group sessions. So I'm just like, okay, let me just go and like I love understanding different people, different perspectives. So I go there. So I was like, okay, if I'm doing that, I'm not gonna do plus therapy. Like I think I have a good handle of myself.
Yes. No, it's true.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing what you're supposed to do to get your mind together.
Yeah.
To show up for yourself. That's really important.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's thank you for sharing that. I really wanted to highlight that because you had it in your bio. And I wanted to highlight that because there's a lot goes on in our community in the diaspora. And not everybody has the courage to share. And I know that you are the MC, you do share, you have that platform. And when we are in this space as a messenger, I just wanted to highlight that for someone to, you know, to take away. What advice would you give someone, let's say they are going through it, they have just lost a child? I can't even imagine.
I don't think there's anything that I could actually say that would ever change anything that person is feeling. Because when you're in that space, I'll give you an example, okay? One of my girls came to see me. She was in another city. She had a little baby. She drove all the way to the city to come here to see me. She did a manicure, pedicure thing for me. But I was so numb. I was so numb. Like, I couldn't even grasp why she was there. You know? I was like, what's going on? I was just there. You know? I was just there. So sometimes it's really hard. Like, when people ask that question, like, what kind of advice could you give
someone?
But then, honestly, what I could say is to, like, don't sink. Don't let that situation sink you that deep. And it sucks to say these words, I think, but they say that it's in every lesson, there's a blessing. Me as an individual, as Agnes, that's how I look at my life. What did I learn from this situation? What did it help me do or not do? Where do I want to go from here, right? So we need to ask ourselves questions. What do you want? Do you want to stay in that state? If you want to stay in that state, no matter what anybody says, then there's there's nothing that could change it. But if you don't want to be in that state and you want to be somewhere else in a better state, maybe letting go, then, you know, you do the work to get there. But it's just allowing yourself to just sink deep in the grief continuously for a long time sometimes could be more harmful to you, you know? Like, I'm all about go through the emotions, you know? Like, you have to go through the emotions, right? Emotions are like, they say it's energy in motion.
Yes.
So let the emotion come through, but let it come through out. Let it come through and out And maybe one day it, yo, like, when was it? So I threw my ashes, because we had an ashes in November 8th. Every November 8th, I remember that day. December 2nd was the day that I lost my child. Every December 2nd, I remember that day. And sometimes I will get caught up in the emotions of it. And I let myself, I breathe through it. And then after I try and I do all that I can to stay grateful for where I am right now. And like now that I'm thinking and I'm talking, it's like, oh, this kind of sounds like a cliche, like it's too good to be true type of thing. But that's literally like how it is. You know, where do you want to see yourself next? I didn't want to be in that pain anymore. Like I couldn't bear the pain anymore after a while. It was just like, I was literally going nuts. Yeah. You know, I couldn't bear it. So when I wasn't able to bear it, whatever that was there to help me, good. Whatever that's there, that's good. That's good for the body, the mind, the soul. Okay. Because yeah. There's other things that people use to help. Like we all have done it, but yeah. You know, if it elevates you, elevates your frequency. Then yeah, do the work, no matter how long it takes. So just don't sink. Yeah. All this to say, don't sink.
How has that, contributed to your relationship with your husband?
That's a big one, eh?
Sorry.
Because, no, it's fine. It's fine. He knows. He's like, yeah, you are the conversationalist. So just go do your thing. You know, like, he knows me. I think I went through it the way that I went through it, but he didn't go through it until probably now. So now that I'm like, yeah, you know, in my feminine energy.
Yes.
You know, the vibrating. I think now it's slowly like sinking in. We went through a whole lot of things. Like, you know, yeah. But I feel it's like, you know, the thing with my husband and I is that we're like friends. We're friends. Like we're just friends. We joke around. We play around. And I think that I feel like he didn't really understand how intense the pain that I was going through was. I don't think he grasped it, but he was there the way that he knew how to be there. In that moment, you know, we've seen stories where literally these things split couples up.
That's right? The reason why I asked.
Yeah. But I think with us, one of the things that really helped us is one, our friendship, because I didn't necessarily like him. Like I didn't necessarily want to be around him, but like this, he makes a joke and just like, okay, like you're so annoying. You know, it's just we have this relationship that we've built and we've somewhat solidified. And I think that is one of the things that pulled us true. And actually like just maybe also the person that we are, like, you know, because marriage, man, shoot. It's like there's always something that's trying to break you apart. It's crazy. Like sometimes I'm just like, is that what this marriage thing is all about? Like if it's not one thing, it's going to be another thing. If it's not this thing, and then that's what both of y'all, it's either both of y'all decide to like, we go, or somebody just says, fuck this shit. Sorry.
I'm out.
Yeah. Somebody just is like, okay, I'm done. Like, goodbye. Like, I can't, you know? And I'm just like, man.
Yep.
But there's this thing they say, it's called love, I think. And I think that's what they say it's called. Or like, I don't know, that thing.
That thing, right? That thing called love that forces you to show up even when you don't feel like it. Yeah. Oh no, I'm glad. I'm thank you so much for being open and sharing your story, you guys. And you are part of 55 Faces. You have authored 55 Faces. Do you mind just sharing for anybody who's not familiar with 55 Faces?
Yes. So 55 Faces basically is a global platform for women. It's created Michelle Gardner, part of like her creation, her foundation, I would say. There's different parts of 55.
Yeah.
But the one of the big parts that I took part in is writing, sharing my story. But through answering three major questions. I think what Michelle is trying to create with this book, 55 Global, right now we're doing 55 Global and 55 Africa.
Yes.
That's what we're working on this season. And it's been very interesting. It's super interesting. I think what Michelle is trying to create is really to bring forth like awareness, one, to humanity that as women, one, we have a story, and our stories could literally create a shift and a move in this world, right? And our stories are so unique and different, but then at the same time, it's the same, you know? And she's just trying to like turn the whole world into 55. Okay, well, that's what I say, okay? sharing their stories.
When I spoke to her, I think it's brilliant. Like, I'll keep saying this, that we all experience life for each other. And someone is going to read your story and relate to your story in a way that I would not relate. Or someone, like just you sharing your story, I can relate because we've all experienced loss one way or another. And we've all experienced grief one way or another through a parent, a child, whatever it is, how we experienced it. It's just the process of going through it and you sharing your story in that way, I could relate in a lot of the things. It might not be the same thing, but your story, I can grab from it and like, oh my God, I went through the same thing. I was angry with God for a while. Okay. So I could relate to that as well. So there's a lot that I actually love about 55 Faces. I commend you women, because that's a lot of work for 55 women.
Yeah, talking to, and it's interesting because it's just like, so I'm helping Michelle with the Africa book, which Nancy is also part of. Yay. And you're meeting women from all across the continent, and I'm just like, there's a summit in the summertime in June.
Yes, next year, 2024.
Yes, if you want to know more info, Nancy will definitely
we'll share
that info. But
that's in Bali,
it's
really right?
Amazing, it is in Bali. Yeah. It's happening.
Who doesn't
want to be in Bali? Come on now. Yeah, I missed it last year. I was part of the first cohorts of writers last year, but this year I should be there.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I love the work that you guys are doing together. And I think a lot of women around the world, I mean, it's millions and millions of us, the stories that need to be told, it's endless.
It's endless.
Yeah.
Endless.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm excited to see how the book turns out. And from some of the pages that people are posting and I'm reading, I'm like, oh my God. I'm looking at my own. I'm like, I need to change something.
Write your story, hon.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to just stick to my story. Yeah. I stop reading. I'm like, I need to write my own.
Your own. That's it. Yeah.
Stop reading. After I read, I'm like, wow. Yeah. What a life.
Yeah, but women have lived. We have lived. We have lived. And we have a lot to say. So I'm really excited for this journey and see where it's at. We're kind of halfway running, you know. Yeah. We're halfway there. So
lovely. In your intro, I mean, you put there as the aspiring social entrepreneur. What does that mean?
So I would say that my purpose, and this is something that I recently solidified, is to help the youth. So, or I don't know, anyway, be that there is. For the youth. The youth. And I've been in that circle in my past when I was like going to church and being that person. And I realized that through all of my experiences, through everything that I'm learning, if I had somebody like me when I was younger, I would have been really happy, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to be that for those that are younger, those that are open to receive the services that I have. So basically it's like you're running a business and the funds that you get from the business goes back into
the community
or the people that's in the business. So a bit of like what 55 is doing. The funds that goes into the first book is going towards the second book.
Yeah,
right? That's like a social enterprise type thing, and I realized that's my purpose. So everything else that I'm doing is to attain that purpose, and that's my social enterprise that I'll be putting out there in the world.
That's beautiful. When do you start?
It's still in the making. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I should have said it, all of that, but yeah, it's still in the making.
This is good. So
yeah it's good. Okay.
Next time, so like, oh yeah. No.
So now I'm challenged to really do the work.
Exactly.
No, so I'm challenged to really do the work. I just put it out there. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think I was going to say that, but yeah, I did.
I'm going to tell you, I mean, we prayed in the beginning. I said, let God guide us, whatever we're going to say. And hey, this is the point.
This is it.
So I've put you through so many questions today and some tough ones. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audiences that has been on your heart?
Wow. Is there anything else? There's nothing specifically that's coming to mind right now in this present moment. But, you know, just like everything that I shared, especially the last part of not sinking, I think I would leave with that. You know, don't let life's obstacles, the challenges and the hurt, grief, the pain, don't let that sink you as a person. Don't let it take away your soul, your joy, your peace. Because it's life being life. Yeah. That's one of the things I learned. It's this thing, or I call it an organism called life. It does these type of events to us, and we gotta win. So don't sink. Yeah. We have to win.
Listen, I'm just humbled with how giving you were with your story. And it's such an honor to have you here. And I'm grateful for you to make time, even though it's been long in the making, you still made time. I know you're busy. You now have your beautiful baby.
Yes, yes, yes. I got my rainbow little boy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No. So see, I said, don't think. Yes. There is a blessing sometimes. Well, no, it should be all the time. There's a blessing after a lesson. Yeah.
No, there is a blessing, even though it's hard to see it when you are in the thick of it. It's very,
very hard.
And I want to encourage someone out there that there is a blessing in everything you go through. I'm testimony. I can testify for you, honestly. Some of you have heard my story and you've heard our guest story as well. There is blessing in everything you go through, all the hardship. And I want to ask you the last question. Have you found your concrete pastures?
I think in the beginning, as I told you, I think I'm now stepping into finding my concrete pastures. I'm entering into my 40th birthday soon. So I'm like, what the heck? How did that happen? Like, I'm so confused. How am I going to be 40? Like, what? When did I live?
I know.
You know, I've been asking a lot of these questions, but I think that it took me a few years to get some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm slowly finding it.
Aww. Like I said, this has been so good. Thank you for inspiring us. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for having me. I had so much fun.
That's it on today's episode. It's truly an honor to serve each and every dreamer. Concrete Pastures now provides targeted services to dreamers coming to the US of A. We assist you to successfully integrate. We are here to support you as you write your new chapter. Kindly check out our services in the link tree. Until next time, keep dreaming.
Concrete pastures.